Where's the beef? You have to be older than me. I don't even get that reference. It comes from a commercial in the, I think the 80s. Dave Thomas was advertising Wendy's hamburgers, and he was making the point that Wendy's hamburgers are luscious and large, okay, but competitors' hamburgers were hidden within the bun, and you couldn't even see the beef. So you'd say, where's the beef? Okay. Modern reference maybe be our Impossible Burgers, right? Where's the beef? It's not in there, it's soy. Okay. Why is he talking about beef? Is this a homily about beef? What is going on? It is. It's actually sponsored by the U.S. Cattlemen's Association of America. And I have a unique opportunity. If you, too, would like to sponsor a homily, come see me after Mass. Very reasonable rates. We have a tiered structure. Okay. In our culture, we have experienced in the past, you know, however many years, this desire to remove human society from the shackles of believing in God, especially believing in God coordinated with an organized religion. And it would be understandable maybe if you were on the front end of this and being like, okay, here, let's try a different solution to life. Let's eliminate God. Great, let's see what happens. Okay, there'd be more understanding on the front end of these kind of lifestyles or philosophies or ways of government. But I think we've had enough time with this to understand that we can say to these philosophies, these structures, where's the beef? Where's the payoff? What are we getting out of this, like, finally, no God in our life? A famous example was, in order to create a society of perfect equality, we had to remove God, remove religion, because this was the opiate of the masses. And Karl Marx realized that if people have eternal life, and God, who's the most unequal of all, because he's infinite and we're not, if you have this promise of eternal life, then you don't work in this world to activate social equality. So for a socially equal system, we have to take God out of the picture, right? It didn't work. The Marxist societies that he created were some of the most unequal societies of all time. They used the word comrade. They'd go around saying, I am leader of country. I am comrade with you. And you'd say, oh, comrade, can I have more money? Gulag. Okay, it didn't work out. There's the most unequal society of all time. Why? Because if you remove God from the society, you remove the thing that actually makes us all equal. Only in God's eyes are we all equal. Why? Because we're all created in the image and likeness of God, and we're all able to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every man, woman, child, every race, every country around the world, wherever you fall on the economic structure, you are equal in dignity before God, and your destiny is equal to anyone else. Okay, let's take that out of the picture. Now we just have inequality without the tools to create equality. It didn't work out. In our world, we're more familiar with kind of this idea that what's the meaning of your life? Well, me is the meaning of my life. What we tell this to our poor kids all the time, like, what should you do in your life? Whatever you want, whatever you set your mind to, your dreams are your me. Okay, and then all of a sudden, you find out that I'm not that good at dreaming, or at least I'm not that good at affecting what I dreamed of, and we saddle young people with this unbearable burden to create the meaning of their life. And then you get older and you realize, I'm not very good at creating the meaning of my life. All these things that I thought were important, I don't have. What do I do now? It's startling to see that in our me society, from the years 2007 to 2017, they call them deaths of despair. What's a death of despair? Either suicide, death from drug overdose, or alcohol-related death. Those have increased for people of my generation, 18 to 33 or whatever, we call millennials, the maligned millennials. Deaths of despair have increased 108% over that period, from 2007 to 2017. It's over double, right? Life expectancy in our country, which had been on a steady upward track, has actually gone down recently. And what's the primary reason for this? Deaths of despair. The most at-risk group for suicide are middle-aged white men. And you think in our society, who's the most economically and influentially accommodating group or whatever? It's middle-aged white men. So why would that be the demographic that's the most prone to end their lives? Because what we've said in our culture is you are the author of the meaning in your life, and what you need to do is create meaning. And when you've reached that middle age point and you realize, I haven't affected all the Land Rovers I wanted. My Instagram family hasn't shown up. I'm just stuck with these people. Okay, you realize, what do I do now? This was the meaning of my life. I didn't do it, so now what do I do? Well, there's no other options. We have a meaning in our life. We have a meaning in our life only because we have a God in our life. What is the meaning of your life? To know, love, and serve him in this life, and to be forever happy with him in the next. And guess who can do that? Every single person can do that. When the chips are up, when the chips are down, when things look good, when things look bad, you can always have that meaning in your life. And we think, okay, well, it's mental health. That's true. Well, mental health and pharmaceutical solutions to depression, those were the best they've ever been. We diagnose mental illness better than it's ever happened. We prescribe prescriptions for mental illness better than we've ever done for depression. We've done these things. We've seen the other side of the mountain. And somehow, even in the state of North Dakota in the past 20 years, suicide has gone up 20%. The things we're talking about with faith, with God, they're matters of life and death. Most importantly, eternal life and eternal death, but they're actually matters of life and death here and now. We have to know who we are. Who we are children of God, made in his image and likeness with infinite dignity, not taken away by anyone else or by me. We're also able to be redeemed by the blood of Christ and spend eternal life with him in heaven. Again, not taken away by anyone else, you or me. But we also have to know me is not the answer to the meaning in life. Dominic Bauk is not the answer to Dominic Bauk's meaning in life. And if I were, I would be depressed too, because I make like $20,000 a year. Okay, I'm 5'7", 180 pounds. I drive a 2012 Chevy Cruze. Where's my Land Rover? I want a Land Rover. I don't even have a wife, okay? I'm single and I'm 30. My life's a disaster. But I have meaning in my life. Yeah, I have meaning in my life. I have a good retirement plan if there's a God. If not, then it's a total disaster and a waste of time, so. I have meaning in my life, whether things are going really well or things are going really poorly. I have God, the ultimate meaning of my life. When the flourishing, or the, I shouldn't say flourishing, the flowering of communist society was in Poland, when they had, you know, they had a lot of time. At this point, okay, we did all the kind of five-year plan that we could do. And John Paul II comes there in 1979. The crowds came to him, which was a very scary event for them, because they knew if they were manifesting their religion too much, then they could have reprisals. This is kind of similar to when, you know, when aunts and uncles come around and you're a kid and the parents are a little looser on the rules and you kind of misbehave extra. And then once aunt and uncle leave, then you get in big trouble. How dare you do that? You embarrassed us. Okay, well, that was the similar thing in Poland. When the Pope was there, they could act out religiously because they weren't going to create a scene, but they had the danger of reprisals after the Pope left. But they gathered in the main square of Warsaw and they chanted, "We want God. We want God. We're done with this. This didn't work out. You want to take God out of our society? Our society is miserable without God, without the ability to worship freely." Well, we have to say the same thing. Communism is easy to see because it's so in your face, right? Our me culture, it's a little harder. It's a little more nuanced. You know, we have a culture of self-help. We're not sufficient to help ourselves. How is this, we're flourishing in this culture of me-centered self-help. Well, how come people are angstier and more depressed than they've ever been? Where's the beef in the culture of me? We've been at this long enough. I could understand, okay, you know, 50 years ago, you're wallowing in the mud at Woodstock, and it's fun. It's like, woo! Okay, we had that chance. It didn't work out. You can't set a society based off wallowing in mud at Woodstock. The music was great, okay. But as far as meaning of life, It's not, there's no beef to it. There's nothing there. It's nothingness. It's vapid. It's empty. And unfortunately, we're seeing that more and more in our culture today. And so we hear from the gospel today, it's the end times, the end times. Jesus is talking about the end times. Well, you don't have to listen to someone that says it's going to be March 19th, 2020, or whatever. We don't know that. We don't know the day or the hour. What do we know? That the end time will come for us, that eventually, yes, unfortunately, death will come to visit us, the effect of original sin. And so the end times are coming, not just for us, but for our neighbor. And he tells us, you could be hated because of all, you could be hated by all because of my name. You could be persecuted. Now, granted, that could mean martyrdom in certain cultures or imprisonment. But in our culture, what does it mean? We're probably not going to be martyred for our Christian faith. at this point, we're probably not going to be in prison for our faith. So what are we going to have? We're going to you will be hated by all because of my name. People could look down on us. So you go to your friend Billy and you say, hey, you know, I see you struggling. One thing that helps me in my life is my relationship with God. Okay, risk reward right here. Risk, Billy could say, that's stupid, I don't like that. Organized religion's a joke. Okay, so that was here. Reward is you could save his earthly life and you could save his eternal life. So is it possible that he rejects that? Yeah, it's possible that he rejects that. But people are this is a matter of life and death. The pain of having a little bit of misunderstanding or someone thinking less of you is insignificant compared to the fact that you could save someone's life, not just in this life, but in the life to come. The time of this culture of me has ended. We know it doesn't work out. So what are we going to do to fight back against it? I sit here and you have to listen to me and, okay, I can't do that much good. It's you people that live with these people, that work with these people, that have people in your families that need Jesus in their lives. You're the ones that have to affect this change. Otherwise, our society is going to continue to fall apart. We don't have a political problem in our country. We have a spiritual problem. We have a God problem. The fact that we've left God behind, and even in the deaths of despair among millennials, one of the reasons that they listed a very secular, is in Time magazine, not exactly a bastion of belief in God, they mentioned one of the reasons was a lack of participation in faith-based activities, i.e. going to mass, doing things at your church. Oh, great, now I don't have to go to church. Now I don't have anything. They created park benches in major cities that are called, like, friend benches. People are lonely. They've taken out God. They've taken out other people. At least the Woodstock generation, like, wallowed in the mud. My generation, we just sit in our rooms and go, This is a lonely generation. We need your help. We don't need park benches to create false fraternity. We need God in our life. We need family structures. We're not getting married either, my generation. We need God in our lives. We need other people in our lives. And you people are the ones who can actually make a difference in the world. So ask the Holy Spirit. Like Jesus says, I will give you what you need to prepare. In these relationships that you have, Jesus will give what you need to say. If you're detached from the fact that people could misunderstand you, then Jesus will give you what you need to say. Could you be rejected? Yes. But most importantly, could you lead someone to life on this earth and eternal life forever with him in heaven?